Hi, I'm Stephanie, a grateful recovering alcoholic. And I always say I'm grateful for being an alcoholic because I didn't know I had a disease till I was told in rehab that this is a disease. It's a fatal disease if you don't do something about it. And the gratitude is that I, with the grace of God, have been a member for 35 years, one day at a time. Step four tells us that we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. First time I did this step with my sponsor, I had 4 months. And I think you're still in a fog at that time. So all I could think of was just the idea that I drank beer all the time and what was so bad about that. And over the years, I have done many fourth and fifth steps. The moral part of it, I was a liar and I stole because I lied when people asked me how much I drank, where did I get it, what did I, you know. Well, we had a budget, and, you know, I stole from myself in a way, because we got, at that time, by the time I was drinking a lot, we got $50 a month. And I figured that, I went from beer to wine. I didn't have to pay for the beer. I would just neighbor hop. I didn't go to bars. I just neighbor hopped. After the rules changed in community, you know, after Vatican II, we were allowed out. And you know, you let 100 and some women out that have been pinned up forever and ever. You're going to find a way to enjoy life. So I can remember the guy across the street from me, I had his grandkids in school. And he says, "Sister, I don't even know your name, but I know who you are. I've seen you every day going to church and going to school." And he said, "Why don't you drop in sometime?" And I said, "Oh, okay." So I went to visit, and he and his wife, and they offered me, "Well, would you like coffee, tea, or a beer?" Well, forget your coffee and tea. It was a beer. And I was always being polite, though. You know, I would take only one, and then I'd go home. Now, I mentioned this last week. I was designated to get the beer for the house because my student, one of my eighth grade students' father, ran the, he had the beer place. And I can remember getting the best beer in town because he'd say, "Well, give your sisters that." But even getting that, I used to count how many people in the house wanted to drink it because I'm already in trouble. I'm figuring out how much there is to drink. There's 24 in a case, and we had 18 nuns. But out of the 18, I think there were three of us. So, but I didn't want them to know about it. So I went visiting this family, and I didn't do this every day for a while. And then I had a little German lady across the street, and she wanted me to see her flowers all the time. And every once in a while, she'd come over to my house and plant flowers or things in my yard. Didn't always appreciate it because I was very fussy about my garden. But anyway, she'd say, "Come over and have a beer. Now, you know it's good to have a beer at 4 o'clock in the afternoon." And so I'd have a beer in the afternoon and 4 o'clock. And that wasn't every day either. But those were the people mainly. Then I would come home and I kept Hall's cough drops in business too, because we would have prayers after I got home. And then I would think, "Oh my, I better cover up." So the Hall's cough drops would cover up the smell. How naive. I'm sure they smelled me. So this went on for a while, and then I got into the wine. The wine was even better. We got it as a gift, and I was a house coordinator, and I was away at Christmas, and when I came back, I said to these little nuns, "Didn't we get a case of wine?" And they said, "Yeah," but I said, "Well, where is it?" They drank it all over the 12 days of Christmas, 12 bottles, so they drank all the wine. Now, I could drive, and I could go, "Oh, state stores." Start going there. So the First State store, one of my kids' fathers ran that. And I went there. And I didn't start out with a small quart bottle or whatever. I got the half gallon. The insanity of my disease was I was drinking a half gallon of wine a week. Half gallon. And there again, I'm cheating myself because on this budget, I could buy it, and it was $9.49 a bottle, half gallon. And I had $10 left at the end of the month after I bought the wine. That was my thinking. I'm a mathematician. And I'm thinking, my family was supporting me, but they did not know what they were supporting. We were in Lake Close now, so they'd send me money to buy stuff. And I was buying the wine. So, of course, time took its toll, and eventually the owner, that day I went in for half gallon, the girl was waiting on me, and she said, "I want you to know the price is going up to 11 something. Why don't you buy it by a case?" Oh my gosh, that was fighting words. I didn't feel that I was doing anything wrong at the time. As I went over my steps and thought about it, I was cheating myself. I was really cheating my family because they didn't know what I was doing with all of this. They thought I was buying clothes. They lived out of town, so they had no idea. To this day, I'm not sure that they knew I was really an alcoholic or belonged to a program. Because when I went home, we usually maybe had a case of beer and we'd have company. So, you know that controlled drinking that you do? So, I wasn't there too long. I was there only 2 weeks. So, I could survive on very little beer. They didn't have wine around. But I could survive on that. And I don't know to this day whether they ever surmised. My one aunt said to me one time, one night we had a company and drinking, and she said, "Don't you think you drink too much?" That should have been a red flag sign. But that's all she said to me. She never alluded to anything else about it. Nothing. And because they lived out of town, they didn't see me. They didn't know, you know. I would call them once a week, and hopefully I was sober when I did. So I don't know that they were affected by it. But the neighbors were beginning to know, and they were getting worried. And then there was another family of janitors. They lived next door, and they'd say, "Come over for a beer." Well, you know, I never had one beer. I had one or two, and then I come home and finish off with what we did have. When I did my inventory the first time, as I said, it did in 4 months. I just, you know, kind of skated it because I was still new in the program. But I didn't only take one inventory. I have taken many. I've taken them with my sponsor. And I happen to have a good friend priest who it was a chaplain at St. Vincent's, but also ran Serenity. He was a chaplain out at Serenity. Anybody that had him at Serenity would have remembered Father Ray. Now, Father Ray himself was not an alcoholic, but his father was. So he had kind of understood alcoholism. And I have done my fourth and fifth step with him several times when something I remember. You don't have to dwell and repeat everything over and over. But what I have done is things come back. Like I think about, you know, the wasting of money. Oh, and then I had an accident. I was drinking. I was doing a workshop. And we were having a meeting, and they had it at my house at the convent. It was working with the deaf and organizing the buses and the schools, public school system, to have the kids come for class. And the priest that was in charge, may he rest in peace, he just died. He had 13 years in a program and went back up. But anyway, he calls me and he says, I have to go to Philadelphia, cancel the meeting. And you know how we are? Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired? I said, I am not canceling any meeting. I'm having it, and all these people are coming from Meadville and around the city, you know. I can't call tonight and tell them not to come. And I had an ulterior motive with that. I was going to serve cheese and crackers and wine, which I did. And we had a wonderful, it was the best meeting we ever had. It was. The schedule turned out. We didn't have any trouble with the city. We didn't have any trouble with teachers. Everybody was happy. And I had a secretary at directory. So when they left, they finished up, and there were little stuff left. And I got in the car. I could have walked. Got in the car, went over to the rectory, and I thought I was Evel Knievel. I hit a wrought iron fence, and the car went over. I didn't think anybody saw me. So the next morning, I get the car. We got the car out. And the next day, I went to the garage, Jurgi, and I said, I hit an abutment. Of course, you're not going to tell what you hit. You know, we're so honest. And he takes the car, and I go home. He calls me up about a half hour later. He said, Sister, there's nothing wrong with the car. However, nobody saw me. I looked around. I didn't see anybody. Looking out windows, nothing. Holy crow, I went to work. They knew about it. Somebody knew. Word got out. And they had to replace the fence. And you make restitution. So I said to Father, I had been given a gift. And I said, I'd be glad to pay for the fence. He said, you don't have to worry about it because insurance will take care of it. But I made the effort to pay for it. That's where we have to be honest. I talked about lying. When I'd get home and the nuns would say, like, where were you? I'd make up stuff. I lied a lot. And you know, thank God for confession, because you can say you lied. And I was cheating myself. You know, using the money for what I was not supposed to use it for. And I figured it out one time. I could never repay it back, really. But I always try to give when there's a collection of some nature to compensate for what I had abused. So that's really what I do. And and it's out of fear that we do what we do. It's not that we're sick people and we do it out of fear. And I had to be who you thought I was. I had to be who you thought I was. I couldn't be me. And that is why, you know, I would lie or, you know, cheat. Sometimes I had to take care of the money at the convent. And I think the books balance at the end, but I had a friend that I took care of, and I think about her, and she always had a case of beer at her house, but she was going through a lot of beer when I was there, and, you know, and cheating in a way because they had to buy the beer. And, you know, all of that we have to make restitution for. So how I did it, she died. And how I've done it is, you know, have maybe a mass set for her on her anniversary or do something to make up for it. I feel better when I do that. Morals? My morals were okay. I didn't run around with men. I do now. I had Wilbur, and I have Martin, and I have Dale, Smiley Jack. I do like men, and I have a lot of priest friends, but I use, they are friends. I respect their place in society. I don't misuse that. I wouldn't say that I didn't read books that I shouldn't have read. That's part of being human. some of the nuns read books now I wouldn't read. You know, I'm very careful. But those are the things on my fourth step that, you know, that I and I go over my fourth step periodically to see if sometimes things come back to you that way back you forgot about. And all of a sudden they pop in your head. Where'd that come from? And I try to talk to the person if it involves them. And the people that I lived with, there were only three nuns involved. And when I went to do, you know, to make my amends to them, they looked at me like, what are you talking about? You know, you went away, you're better. Of course, they think, their idea of this program is, you go away, you go to rehab, you get better, and you're going to be better forever. They don't realize this is a day-to-day program. Day-to-day. I have to work on me every day. And another thing, I'd lose my cool. Not with the kids in school so much, but if somebody at the convent irked me, they'd know about it. Today, they can do anything they want. It doesn't bother me, you know. We have a few that I just ignore them because we have one, she's so nosy. She's so nosy. And sometimes I like to lie to her because she's so... One day I'm getting in the car and she says to me, oh, so-and-so went out. I wonder where she's going. I said, who? And she said, Margaret Ann. I said, oh. I said, it happened to be me who was going out, not her. Well, it was like, oh. And then she'll say something else and I will say, oh, I don't think so. That's not the way it was, you know. But I don't get into these little, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Well, it was nice today. I'm on retreat. Now I'll hear about that tonight. Oh, you went out tonight? Yeah, I went out. What's the big deal about it? Well, you're on retreat. Yeah, I am. Well, the priest talked about examining your consciences, examines, and that should be a practice every day. And I wanted to put my hand up and say, hey, Father, you know anything about the 12 steps? Temp does that every day. You do that all the time. And this nun came to me and she said, you know, when we were in novitiate, they didn't spend much time on that. And I said, no, but my program does. It's an everyday thing. She said, really? I said, yeah. I have to take an inventory every day and apologize if I'm wrong. And that's another thing, I can apologize today. It might take me a day, but I do apologize. Sometimes I'm a little stubborn. And then in the fifth step, admit it to God, to my others, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Well, I did my fifth step with my sponsor, then I did it with another, then I had another sponsor. My sponsors all died. I have two now, Mary Ann, and then I have one in Pittsburgh that was my counselor, and I keep in touch with her. And I admitted all my wrongs, exact nature of the wrongs, why I did it, and most of it was because the inferiority. I always felt I had to be something else. And that's part of this nature of our alcoholism. We're not happy with ourselves. We have to make ourselves better. And that's not necessary. I don't have to do that. Fear, self-pity, hurt feelings, loneliness. Did I get lonely? I'm not lonely now, but after a while, the three people I lived with, I can remember, after a while, they wouldn't be around. I'd be there alone. And I kind of liked it in a way because I could do what I wanted. But I was beginning to wonder why they weren't around when we were having fun and different things, did different things, and all of a sudden. And that's part of this disease. We become lonely because nobody wants to be around us. I thought I was the life of the party. Well, I wasn't anymore. I was I don't know that I did anything to embarrass, I don't, yeah, we had Christmas parties, that part I can remember. I had two faculty members, they were great drinkers. And one night they made punch, and they didn't come to school the next day. And, oh, where are they? Call them up. Oh, what time is it? Well, you're supposed to be here. That's what time it is. So they get there, and of course they were testing the punch. And then they brought it in for the party, and they said to me, and I'm teaching, hey, have a sip. Oh my God, I'll never forget that punch. It was so potent. Just a little sip made me great for the day. So that, I did not have that, I'll tell you that. But faculty parties were pretty wild, and I was big part of that. So I had to make amends to those two. But the one, I don't know if, the one stopped drinking also. He's not in the program, but he stopped drinking. I don't know if Greg did. In fact, they were, I don't know the day they got us in trouble with the diocese. We had to give those stupid tests, you know, the IQ test. So the principal says to me, do you think they could take them to mail them at the post office? I said, you're trusting them? She said, well, yeah. So we gave them the IQ test to mail. So everything's fine. 1 month goes by, 2 months go by, 3 months, we get a call from the diocese. We have no results from your IQ test. Whoa. Down the office they come. Know anything why we don't have results from the IQ test? Oh. We went to the bar after we left you, and we forgot to mail them. They're still in my trunk of the car. They didn't do any good then. Oh my, I thought the roof of the building would come off. But anyway, that was a result of entertaining. But I wasn't part of it. I was part of the finding out that we didn't have them. So they said, well, what are we going to do? I said, the only thing we can do is use the results from the year before. But it can't happen again. Well, now I guess they do something different anyway. But the one teacher does not drink anymore, but he's not in a program. And I met his wife one day, and she said, could you ever get him something to do? All he does is a couch potato. So I don't know. You have to get active too, and active in his program. That's why I think people that just do it by themselves and have no, they're not active with anything. I love this program, and I'm not ashamed. You know, I'm not ashamed people know I'm an alcoholic. I don't wear a tag, but if they know that I might be helping them. I might be helping them. I don't know, anywhere I go, I run into somebody that's an AA. And it's a good feeling. Sometimes, we had one nun, she'd say to me, the phone would ring. Before we had this system, the phone would ring and you had to be paged. She'd say, is that one of your friends? I said, they're friends. They are friends. I put her in her place because they don't understand. And then there was a priest who visited one day, and he died recently, but he went back out also. And he was coming down the hall. At that time, he was in the program. He said, oh, I hear you're leading tonight. Real loud. And there were all these nuns. I said, shut up. You know, you don't have to advertise it, but, you know, but I just told him to be quiet, you know, that I don't want it all over. Do people know I'm in the program? Some do. I don't think that a lot of sisters remember. A couple know that, you know, I live with. Some have no idea. If they do and they have a problem, I'm there to help them. So I try to live my steps. Every day I go over them. Something comes up that I remember, then I make the amends. And I still have trouble saying to you, I'm sorry if I feel I'm right. But, you know, that was when I always thought I was right. You know, you were wrong, I was right. I try to live it. Not just do them, but live them. And I have a happy life today. I have wonderful people in my life, and I don't need a drink. I know that it's funny, on feast days we always have wine out. And I get a kick of watching the nuns. Oh my God, they're funny. They die for it. And sad to say, one of them is at St. Mary's East now in Alzheimer's, and she's a wet brain because she has drunk so much. And when she was still with us, before we had to send her over there, on feast day nights, she would be the first one at the wine place, loading up. And somebody said, "Can you get her to stop?" I said, "I'm not going to get a black eye." She, you know, you feel bad about it, but that's true. And then there are others. And then there was one. There are a couple in the program. Some don't go meetings. They just don't drink. But I would miss the entertainment here. I mean, I love the meetings. I love the people. And you're honest and sincere. That's what's good, nice about it. Today, I try to be honest. Now, I was a Catholic U, and one of the things we learned about mental reservation, there are times that I cannot disclose information. And you can sometimes kind of dress it up. It's for nobody's business. But I don't use it very often. But I try to be honest with you. And that was always fun, because they'd always ask me, "How much beer did you have? How much did you drink?" And so on. Today I don't have to lie about it, because I don't drink. Mostly water now. I don't even miss it. I don't know what I thought I saw in it, you know. But I think it was the euphoria and the feeling that you got, and it made you feel bigger and better. But it doesn't. It brings you down. And I'm grateful for this fellowship. So with that, I'll close.
All right. Thank you. Okay, now if anybody has any questions.
Bruce will.
About 4 or 5 or 1, 2, or 3. I've got some.
I know it.
That front table's rubbing off. So I hear people all the time talk about they were afraid to do their fourth step. I know I took a while to do mine, but mostly that was just procrastination, you know. But fear of it. What is your take on that? Like to someone as they're ready to do step 4.
I think the fear that I think you have is, what will they think of what you're telling them? They think it, you know, you feel awful about what you did, and to tell somebody else is very fearful.
How about to try to alleviate some of that fear ahead of time, going in, to maybe not make it so hard on the front end?
I don't know. Well, the last person I did it with, I wasn't afraid, but I've had the practice of doing it, so I wasn't fearful. And then I've realized that we're all in the same boat, some more stuff than others. There isn't anything I haven't heard that would shock me. Nothing. In my field, I hear stuff that would put you over the edge. And that's the way it is. And I don't know if it's a faith they have in me, because they know it won't go anywhere. I think that's, you know.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, sister. I appreciate very much you coming out here doing this. When you're doing a step with someone, and you know you've been able to alleviate their fear of doing their fourth step, but when they do their fifth step with you, could you kind of walk us through your process of how you do a fifth step with somebody?
Mm-hmm. You tell them what you were like, and there's nothing that we didn't hear or know about, so go to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about patterns? Do you find patterns in people's behaviors?
Like, yeah, all pretty much the same. Even when you read the literature, you hear the same thing. Fear, insecurity, aggressiveness, you know, all of that.
And how do you help them? How does that, I know next week is 6 and 7, but how do you transition them from 4 and 5 to 6 and 7?
Well, 6 is more your character, what you're like.
Right.
Not what, so much what you did, but what you're like. So I think that...
Okay.
Anybody?
Don't encourage her.
Don't encourage her.
Okay, sister, thank you.
I called your mom, by the way.